What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. We have tons of tools to get you ready to smoke your buffoon league mates in our redraft rankings manifesto. Whether you're looking for our consensus tiered-based rankings, top 200s, and by position, fantasy football news blurbs to keep you informed and find this year's Puka Nacua, risk ratings so you know how risky the draft picks you're spending are, the truth series so you can see how their 2023 season went, or you can compare our rankings to Sleeper, to ESPN, to Underdog, to Yahoo, to NFL, whichever platform you're drafting on, we have you covered this year with our Redraft Rankings Manifesto. Right now, you can get our draft guide for free by signing up on Underdog Fantasy using just $10 and using code FSE. If you already have an Underdog account or you can't play where you live, you can also head to flockfantasy.com. Use the code FSE for a 7-day free trial, 30% off any of the packages, and all of that is linked in the description of all of our videos if you need the links for that. All right, let's roll the pod. In fantasy football, offensive production is one of the biggest determining factors for players overperforming, underperforming, hitting their ADP, smashing from a fantasy football perspective. This video is going to be a ton of fun. What we're going to be doing is going through all 32 teams, ranking how good I think their offenses will be based on a number of factors, which I'll detail in a second, and then going through each of their positional ADPs. How high is their RB1 going? How high is their wide receiver one going? And determining if everything makes sense. And spoiler alert, there's a lot in this video that won't make sense based on what we know about these team environments. So this is going to be a really fun video. If you enjoy, if you get some value from it, leave a like down below. Subscribe to the channel if you guys are new. Check out the link in the description to find out how to get our draft guide totally for free. But with that being said, let's get into it. Alrighty, so as you guys can see, I have all 32 teams ranked. Elite offenses, great offenses, above average offenses, but they have some upside, and then bad offenses, or offense we expect to be bad. And basically what I've done in this video is I've gone through and ranked all the offenses based on a number of different factors like their Vegas win totals. Mike Clay over at ESPN does great projections. Last year's metrics, how they performed, DVOA, pace of play, drive stats, as well as kind of offseason additions and losses that they've had, as well as a little bit of strength of schedule stuff. So that's kind of how I came up with these overall offenses. And what we're going to do with each tier of offense is go through their overall ADPs, how high their quarterback is going, how high their running backs are going, how high their wide receivers are going, and determining if they make sense or not based on obviously the player's talent that are playing those positions, but of course the offensive projection that I have in mind here. And again, there's going to be some tiebreakers, you know, concentration of weapons. We kind of want to know who to target for fantasy. It's important for us in fantasy football drafts was one of the tiebreakers. I also wanted to look kind of at my own exposures on Underdog to see which offenses I'm targeting. And also I wanted to factor in kind of schematic things like how good of coaching these guys have in their respective offenses, as well as kind of use of motion and play action and things of that nature. So we're going to rank the offenses in the NFL, talk about which offenses project to be very good. I'll give you guys my opinion. I would say generally speaking, this is more for the casual fantasy player. If you guys are just coming back to the scene, it's July 30th as I'm recording this right now, and you're determining, okay, which offenses are expected to be good this year, who could be this year's Los Angeles Rams. That is an offense we don't expect to be very good going into the season, but ends up being very good as a result. Who could be this year's Texans? Who could be this year's Jacksonville Jaguars, for example, an offense we expected to be great that really underperforms relative to expectations. So let's start with the elite tier of offenses. I have listed here my projected top five offenses in the NFL. And again, I did make tiebreakers for the fact that we know who to draft for in fantasy. But generally speaking, this is based on what I expect their total yardage to be, what I expect their pace of play to be, what I expect their point production, most importantly, to be. San Francisco 49ers, Miami Dolphins, Kansas City Chiefs, Detroit Lions, and Cincinnati Bengals. Those are my projected top five most fantasy-friendly offenses in the NFL. San Fran and Miami, of course, it's mainly talent-driven, but they also have schematic advantages over the rest of the league because of how great Kyle Shanahan and Mike McDaniel are respectively at calling plays. Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs offense, we know what all that's about. They have freaking Patrick Mahomes. And then the Cincinnati Bengals, same thing. They have Joe Burrow. They have Ja'Marr Chase. They have T. Higgins. The talent level is very high there. And then the Detroit Lions are just one of the most well-balanced offenses because they have a good quarterback. They have a great run game. good wide receiver core, great tight end, and an elite offensive line with good play calling and good coaching. So, like I said, we're going to look at the ADPs of these elite offenses and determine if everything checks out. That's basically all we're doing here, because if everything doesn't check out, that means we're going to have an overvalued or an undervalued player on our hands. So, starting with the quarterback position, we look at San Fran, Kansas City, Miami, Detroit, and Cincinnati's quarterback ADP. In our draft guide, we have multi-site ADP going across Yahoo, NFL, ESPN, Underdog, Sleeper, all of these different sites combined for this average ADP that you guys can see on the screen right now. And that's how we get to this overall number. I would say, generally speaking, this is more applicable in home leagues than it would be in best ball, because obviously in best ball, underdog markets vary a little bit from your average home league format. So you could see Brock Purdy, Patrick Mahomes, Tua Tagovailoa, Jared Goff, and Joe Burrow respectively going where they're going in fantasy drafts. I'd say probably one of the bigger takeaways, given how I expect these offenses to perform, is that these guys all make for great late round quarterback targets, specifically Brock Purdy, Tua Tagovailoa, and Jared Goff. Obviously Mahomes and Burrow are going very early in drafts. If you're looking for a good late round quarterback target, you're better off targeting an offense like the 49ers, like the Dolphins, like the Lions, because you know you're getting stability at your quarterback position, an offense that projects very well. Week over week, we go into the season and we're talking about weekly rankings. These guys are going to be up near the top of the rankings because their offenses project very well. At running back, you can see some of the strategy that's involved here with San Francisco, Kansas City, Miami, and Detroit. We know they all have great starting running backs, right? Christian McCaffrey, Isaiah Pacheco, Devon Achane, and Jahmyr Gibbs are all going in the top 30 overall picks. However, because of the ambiguity in Cincinnati, we don't know where Zach Moss and Chase Brown's split is going to come down. So that provides value for us at the running back position with the Cincinnati Bengals. For me, I've been taking a lot of Chase Brown. But again, if you're into Zach Moss, I understand the rationale there. The RB2s, as you guys can see, I also have listed there as well. The ones that are expensive are in Miami and Detroit, mainly because, you know, Montgomery and Raheem Mostert expect to work into the backfield, but potentially those guys might be a bit overvalued knowing how much we expect the starter to produce from a fantasy perspective. At wide receiver with all of these teams, you can see that there's wide receiver values all over the place, specifically with the Kansas City Chiefs, because they don't have a single wide receiver going inside the top 75 overall picks between Marquise Brown, Rashee Rice, and Xavier Worthy, which is the order that those guys are going off the board. You can really take a stab at any one of those guys. If you believe in Marquise Brown, you could take a stab at him. If you believe in Rashee Rice, you know, minus the suspension, you could take a stab at him. If you believe in Xavier Worthy, you can take a stab at him. So again, that presents value from that perspective, knowing what we expect of that Kansas City Chiefs offense. Late round wide receiver three targets for the Detroit Lions, Miami Dolphins, and Cincinnati Bengals might be worth a shot, probably in best ball specifically. Odell Beckham Jr., Jermaine Burton, Khalif Raymond, whatever other wide receiver in Detroit you'd want to take a stab at. Probably good best ball swings just given the nature of the offense. And then looking at the tight end position for all of these teams, I mean, of course, we have Kittle, Kelce, and Sam Laporta who are going very highly, but the tight end position of, you know, Jonnu Smith, Miami Dolphins, and Mike Gesicki, Cincinnati Bengals might also represent some good value from a best ball standpoint as well. So again, basically, we're just hovering over these teams, determining which guys are undervalued and overvalued. Again, looking at that tier, I would say the Bengals backfield specifically is undervalued. The Chiefs wide receiver core specifically is undervalued. And also, it looks like potentially the wide receiver two for Detroit, which is Jameson Williams in ADP right now, could be a little bit undervalued depending on what you think of that situation. So moving on to the next tier of offenses, we have the Houston Texans, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Dallas Cowboys, the Green Bay Packers, and the Los Angeles Rams. Again, rationalization for why I like these offenses for fantasy football is, number one, all of them have good quarterbacks. You have Stroud, Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, and Matthew Stafford, who are all probably top 12 NFL real-life quarterbacks in the league. And then you also have pretty good play callers with a lot of these, too. You got Bobby Slowick in Houston. You have the Philadelphia Eagles now with Kellen Moore coming in. You have the Green Bay Packers, Matt LaFleur. You have Sean McVay with Los Angeles Rams. Mike McCarthy, I've often said, is a very overrated play caller. But again, Dak Prescott and the rest of the offense typically performs really well there. And then you also have great surrounding casts for each one of these teams. And again, pace of play and, you know, Mike Clay's projections and stuff went into the rationale for why I rated these offenses where I rated them. So at the quarterback position, we look across the board and it's pretty uniform. All of these quarterbacks, except for Matthew Stafford, are going highly in drafts, which is why I think Matthew Stafford is a huge, huge value, because if I expect, like I do here, the Rams to be a great passing offense, especially they're so easy to stack up because you have Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp as the pretty much only wide receiver options going highly in drafts. Why wouldn't you be taking a lot more Matthew Stafford? Same goes even for Dak Prescott and Jordan Love, who are going outside of the top 70 overall picks. They still represent a very good value there. Then we get to the Cowboys because you look at their ADP and it just looks weird compared to the rest of these teams, right? Because the Eagles, they have all these great weapons. The Texans, same thing. Packers, maybe not high-end weapons, but they're really deep. And then the Rams, a lot more top-heavy. But with the Dallas Cowboys, you have CeeDee Lamb, who's the second overall player off the board. And then after CeeDee Lamb, the next player in ADP is Dak Prescott at 72, Jake Ferguson at 86, Brandon Cooks, Ezekiel Elliott at 112, and Brandon Cooks at 150. So either the Cowboys are going to be worse than we think because they're extremely top-heavy and CeeDee Lamb's their only good weapon, or somebody's going to end up being a huge value, whether it's Jake Ferguson at 86, whether it's Brandon Cooks at 150, Ezekiel Elliott at 112, or just the quarterback Dak Prescott at 72. So for me, I look at the Cowboys and I think that there's definitely value to be had here. The way that I have personally been attacking it has been through the backfield. I like Zeke, but Rico Dowdle's a half-decent value as well. I think Brandon Cooks is a little bit probably washed. Jake Ferguson's an okay value, but for me, I've been attacking it specifically from the backfield in Dallas. At the running back position in general with this tier of teams, like I said, I think Zeke is one of the best values in all of fantasy. Gross, I know, but that's where I'm at with it. Marshawn Lloyd in Green Bay, if you look at his ADP relative to Josh Jacobs at 36, and you look right beside that with Kyren Williams and Blake Corum, why is there such a big difference between Josh Jacobs and Marshawn Lloyd than there is a smaller difference between Kyren Williams and Blake Corum? Because I think we would all agree that Kyren Williams is a more solidified starter in Los Angeles than Josh Jacobs is with the Packers, because he was inefficient last year and he's coming to a new team and they want to talk about committee approaches, and the Rams are traditionally not a committee type of team. So to me, I think that represents that Marshawn Lloyd is a little bit undervalued, because we kind of know, A, that he's going to have some kind of role sans a Josh Jacobs injury. And then also, if Jacobs goes down, he could end up being a huge, huge league winner. So Marshawn Lloyd definitely stood out as a guy that's probably undervalued based on what we expect from his offense, as well as the starter in front of him being a guy that, I mean, he's going at 36 overall in home leagues, but there's a lot of people in sharp league formats on Underdog Fantasy that are not willing to take Josh Jacobs until the 50s. So there's a good chance that he should be going, Lloyd should be going a little bit higher than that. Then we look at Damian Pierce too, because you can see Joe Mixon is going at 45th overall. Damian Pierce, who's the direct handcuff, at least as it currently stands, Cam Akers just got signed there, but for me, I think Damian Pierce is the direct handcuff. He's going outside of the top 180 overall picks. I think that represents that he is extremely undervalued, and I've talked about him on numerous occasions. At wide receiver, with all of these teams, you have the Houston wide receiver core, which in my opinion is overvalued, because if you look at Nico Collins going at 29th overall, and I actually have him ranked higher than that, you have Stephon Diggs going at 36th overall, Tank Dell going at 51 overall, CJ Stroud is either undervalued at 50 overall, and he should be going higher, because if all these guys return on their ADP, then CJ Stroud is going to have a monster season of 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards, or one of these Houston Texans or multiple of these Houston Texans wide receiver cores are overvalued. For me, Stephon Diggs is overvalued, and I also think Tank Dell is overvalued a little bit as well. But again, something to keep an eye on. Again, we need to remember that unless you think the Houston Texans are going to be the best offense in the league, 4,500, 50 touchdown, 5,000 passing yard type of season, then we're probably drafting the wide receivers a little bit too highly. But again, we're baking in range of outcomes and things of that nature. I'm just kind of outlining that it doesn't really add up and make logical sense as it currently stands. The Packers wide receiver core will have somebody emerge, in my opinion. We don't know who it will be, whether it be Jaden Reed or Christian Watson or Dontavian Wicks or Romeo Doubs, but somebody is going to return a lot of value in this wide receiver core, at least in my opinion. And even if they do swap out all four of these wide receivers, run them 70-75% of the routes, I do think that by law of averages, somebody's going to look better than the rest of them. So that is the core that I think has been one of the best and most fun puzzles to kind of solve, is who do you want in this wide receiver core? Do you want to take the most expensive option in Jaden Reed, second most expensive in Christian Watson? Watson has been the guy that I've been taking. Or do you want to swing for the upside with Dontavian Wicks, or take the boring, you know, we might know what his role is guy in Romeo Doubs? So that is an interesting one as well. Brandon Cooks, Jalen Tolbert, or Jake Ferguson. I talked about it already, but somebody is going to have value in this Cowboys passing game, unless you don't think the Cowboys are going to be very good, which in which case that would make some sense there and why they're undervalued on the market. And then at the tight end position, there is definitely some value to be had in the Packers tight end core with Goddard and Dalton Schultz as well, giving you guys some good value with the Eagles and with the Texans respectively. I know Goddard and Schultz are in crowded rooms with a lot of great wide receivers, but specifically with Goddard, I just think you like to take good pieces of good offenses who are talented and can score touchdowns and things of that nature. So I think both of those guys represent a half decent value as well. Moving into the next tier of teams here, we have the above average tier. And again, I realize that people are going to disagree with a lot of how I ranked these teams, but again, try and remember that I'm doing this not just from a who's going to be the best offense standpoint, but also from a do we like their fantasy options standpoint, because I think you could definitely argue that the Baltimore Ravens and the Buffalo Bills are probably a tier too low. You could probably say they're a better offense potentially than the Green Bay Packers, the Rams, even the Eagles or the Cowboys or something like that, because they have Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. However, I think with Buffalo and with Baltimore, there's things that I don't love about their offenses right now, specifically the pass-catching weapons in Buffalo. We don't know what to do with them. We don't know if they're proven. Baltimore, it's a little bit of a top-heavy unit. You just have Mark Andrews and Zay Flowers who are proven there. And also the offense is very low volume, low pace of play, and things of that nature. So again, try and keep in mind that I'm not just saying these are going to be the best teams in the league. These are going to be the best offenses in the league. I'm trying to say how fantasy-friendly those offenses will be. And then I also have the Seattle Seahawks, Jacksonville Jaguars, Atlanta Falcons, and New York Jets in this tier. When you look at the quarterback position across the board, it seems that Allen and Lamar might be a smidge overvalued just based on my ranking of them right now as passers. But of course, they can run so well that I don't really care that much to say that they might be a little bit overvalued because they are going to run. And then all of these other quarterbacks are undervalued, at least the way I see it. Geno Smith isn't being drafted in most home league formats right now. Trevor Lawrence, Kirk Cousins, and Aaron Rodgers are all double-digit round type of guys. Lawrence has some rushing upside, some young upside that he progresses as a player. And then I think both the Achilles brothers there, Cousins and Rodgers, they're probably not super high upside options, but they do have a little bit of a safety level that you know they've been great quarterbacks in years past. And you can kind of punt the quarterback position if you want to, stack them up. If you take Drake London or Garrett Wilson later on, earlier on in your draft, you could just pair them up with their quarterback and they're great fallback options at that point. At the running back position in this territory of the rankings, I think all the starters across the board are finely priced. I don't think there's really anything I would say about them. The backups are really where I'm interested in this range because Zach Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker, I think, should be closer in price than they currently are. Tyler Allgeier, Tank Bigsby, Braylon Allen, Ray Davis, and Keaton Mitchell, they're all projected to be the RB2s in their offense, and they're all undervalued based on what I think their offenses can do. And again, I get it's partially because Breece Hall and Bijan Robinson and Derrick Henry, these guys are such solidified starters, Travis Etienne even, are solidified starters. It's just that the RB2s, even though they're going to just need injury to get on the field, they should still be going higher based on their contingent upside. I think the one that stands out the most is James Cook versus Ray Davis, because James Cook is not going at a level where we think he is locked in, loaded, elite fantasy football running back. Even though I really like James Cook, his backup, Ray Davis, should probably be going a little bit higher based on the market discrepancy there. Similar to what I said about Josh Jacobs and Marshawn Lloyd, if you don't think that James Cook is a bona fide second round fantasy pick this year, then Ray Davis is probably undervalued on his current level right now. At wide receiver, Buffalo wide receivers, just like Kansas City, are so underpriced, and it's because we have no idea who's going to be the number one guy. Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel, and Khalil Shakir are the way that they're ranked in ADP right now, 108, 128, and 134. It's really all about what you actually like. And again, these are home league ADPs. On Underdog, these guys go way higher than that, which should be an indication that they're probably good picks in home leagues. I think JSN, Brian Thomas, both excellent picks in home league formats as well, because like I said, on Underdog, they go way higher than 101 and 110 overall, respectively. They're picked in like the 70s because we know how much wide receivers can really impact our fantasy lineups. Then you look at Baltimore, Atlanta, and the Jets. They don't really have interesting wide receiver twos. Bateman, Mooney, Mike Williams / Malachi Corley, they're all fine, but it looks like all of them could be undervalued, especially when you look at Mike Williams, because there is no Kyle Pitts or Mark Andrews on the New York Jets, and Mike Williams has a chance really to be the number two receiver and number two target overall in that offense. It's just the injury makes me a little bit concerned about him. At tight end, nothing really stands out to me outside of Noah Fant being extremely undervalued. He's going undrafted in home league ADPs right now. I get we've done this song and dance with Noah Fant for years, but tight ends take longer to develop. He's a great athlete. All the offseason competition that he had leave, Colby Parkinson, Will Disley, could lead to him going up in snaps. And then Tyler Conklin, also a half-decent swing late, just because, like I said, outside of Garrett Wilson, there's no real solidified target. So if you don't believe in Mike Williams, you should probably be in on either Malachi Corley or Tyler Conklin at tight end there. So moving into the next tier of offenses, again, these are, I labeled them average offenses with upside for more, basically, because I like the Bears, I like the Colts, I like the Cardinals, I like my Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I like the Cleveland Browns, I like the Chargers, I like the Vikings, and I like the Titans too, even though they project as average to below average offenses currently. All of them have a scenario and a range of outcomes where they could be better than where we're currently valuing them. So we're trying to balance that optimism with reality that some of these offenses are probably going to disappoint. In fact, most of them probably will disappoint. We just need to figure out which one of these offenses is going to be the Rams from last year or the Texans from last year. And that's why we go one by one with these. So Chicago, I'm going to go team by team instead of by position like I was doing before, because I think it makes it easier now that there's more teams. The Bears, I think, are priced really where they should be at expectation, except for Caleb Williams, because similar to what I said about the Texans, if you think that DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Romo Odunze are all top 90 overall picks, which they are in home league ADP right now, and again, in underdog drafts, they're going even higher than that, then Caleb Williams is undervalued at 117. If you think that Caleb Williams is properly valued, then one of these or multiple of these wide receivers are overvalued. So if you believe in all of DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Romo Odunze this year, like I kind of do, I think that Caleb Williams probably should be going around where Dak Prescott and Jordan Love are going, to be honest, because that's what his weapons core would kind of dictate he go in terms of overall fantasy production. Then you look at the Indianapolis Colts, who are very top heavy in terms of where they're going in drafts, and they're kind of aligned with expectations, I guess, of how good of an offense we think they're going to be. I think with Pittman and with Taylor, they're pretty cut and dry. We know what we're getting there. The best place to attack and get value at this Colts situation, because with the quarterback, with the star running back and the wide receiver, they're going high enough in drafts that we kind of need them to be good. But if the offense is really good and overperforms expectation, I think it's really going to show up with Adonai Mitchell and Josh Downs, the wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3, depending on which one you think is better. I like to take shots on those two guys specifically. Downs is the one that I prefer, but a lot of people really like Mitchell as well. The Arizona Cardinals all seem fine in terms of overall value right now. Michael Wilson, I think, is probably the one guy that you could point to maybe being a good value outside of the top 180 in overall home league ADP, because I think that, I mean, we know Marvin's going to be the number one, but I think it's also pretty cut and dry that Michael Wilson should be the number two based on everything we've heard from camp so far. So he could be a good best ball slash deeper leagues type of dart throw. The backfield, I tend to think that both backs are undervalued, because I think James Conner is going to have a great early down roll to start the season, but as the season goes along, Trey Benson has a chance to work into that workload. So James Conner is totally the type of guy that I could draft in a home league, and after week 4, flip him for top 12 RB price tags, because I think that's how this season's going to go in Arizona. It's going to be James Conner's backfield to start the year, and then Trey Benson, as the year goes along, will eat into it, but your buffoon league mates won't know what's happening when they see that James Conner's the RB7 in points per game through the first month of the season, and you can sell high on him at that point. In best ball, obviously, you can't do that, but in home leagues, I think that James Conner represents a great value accumulation piece and great production early on in the season. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not priced as if they're going to be this good. And I realize I'm a Buccaneers fan, so I'm a little bit biased here, but I do think they're at least deserving of being in this tier, because there's a world in which Evans, Godwin, Rashad White, the guys that are all being drafted highly, all produce and all outperform their ADPs, because Baker Mayfield builds upon his 2023 season. He's very comfortable in the offense. It's a better scheme, in my opinion. Their offensive line's going to be better this year. They could all return value here. So Godwin, currently my favorite at cost, but I do think that Mike Evans and Rashad White are decent picks where they're going as well. The Cleveland Browns are so cheap. Outside of Amari Cooper, nobody costs you more than a double-digit round pick. And I think you should take a stance on this backfield and attack that stance. So if you think Nick Chubb is undervalued because he's going to beat the odds of the ACL injury, then you should be drafting him. If you don't think he's going to beat the odds of the ACL injury and he's going to succumb to the medical data and the medical research, then you should be taking a shit ton of Jerome Ford and maybe even Deontay Foreman as well. So for me, the backfield is the best way to attack the Cleveland Browns on how they might be underpriced, because we also know about Cleveland that they have a great offensive line and they like to run the football. So one of these running backs is going to end up being undervalued, whether it's Chubb, Ford, Deontay Foreman, whoever. The best values, in my opinion, still though, at in this Cleveland Browns team, and I think they're a pretty good bet to overperform their ADP, are the quarterback, Deshaun Watson, because he can run, and also the tight end, David Njoku, who's an eighth, ninth rounder in most home league ADPs right now. But on casual formats, like if you're playing on Yahoo or ESPN, you might be able to really punt off tight end and get David Njoku late, and I think he is one of those great, great options to do that with. The Chargers, there's too much red for how they project. This is another one of those teams where I look at them just like the Browns, and I'm like, you guys, we should be drafting some of these guys higher. Ladd McConkey projects to be the number one wide receiver, at least right now, and he's not going high enough, in my opinion. He is on underdog, but he's not in home league formats. Justin Herbert is too good of a quarterback to be going outside the top 120 overall picks. I realize they're not going to throw very much, but I'm just saying if they do, because they have a great quarterback, Justin Herbert's going to crush his ADP. And then in the backfield, if you believe that the Chargers are going to run, and run some more, all three of the running backs, Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, Kamani Vidal, are good gambles to take. I personally like J.K. Dobbins the most. Maybe you like Gus Edwards the most. Maybe you like Kamani Vidal the most. I would say, given what we've heard from camp so far, it appears to be J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, which lines up with the fact that Greg Roman is the offensive coordinator and they were the starters in Baltimore when he was last there. So for me, Dobbins is the guy that I've been targeting, and it sounds like the team is hyping him up now as well. The Minnesota Vikings, they have Justin Jefferson, of course. We know that he's going very high in drafts, but there is value to be had elsewhere in this situation as well. I'm not a huge Aaron Jones guy, so I've been mixing in Ty Chandler. I've been mixing in Jordan Addison, of course, now that he's getting lowered in ADP because of the suspension risk. And TJ Hawkinson, if you can hold him in your home league, maybe you can stash him on an IR spot or whatever. He has a chance to be a really good value. Probably not messing with the quarterback position because it's going to be kind of like a quarterback by committee. But still, I think the Vikings, because they're a high-paced, high-pass-happy, good offense with good weapons, they have a chance to overperform, because if J.J. McCarthy comes in and maybe he's not as good as C.J. Stroud was last year, but he's at least very good, then they have a chance to really overperform their ADPs. And then finally, closing out this tier of teams, we have the Tennessee Titans. And again, you could make the argument that they're probably too high here. I'm a believer in Tennessee. I think that they have a chance to be pass-heavy, up-tempo, scoring a lot of fantasy points. And maybe we don't get one true dominant alpha out of this situation, whether it's in the backfield or at the wide receiver core. But I do think each one of these guys could incrementally outperform their ADP. Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins going in round 6, round 7, round 8 of home league drafts, both of them could perform as top 25, top 30 wide receivers in fantasy, and that would be a small win. Both Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears being drafted outside of the RB dead zone in rounds like 9 through 11, I think that either of those guys could emerge in the backfield and potentially outperform their ADP. Specifically, the one that I've been targeting the most has been Tajay Spears, but you could flip a coin at wide receiver, tell me that Calvin Ridley is just, you know, coming back to the scene and he's going to bounce back this year. You could tell me that DeAndre Hopkins was better than Calvin Ridley and already has rapport with the quarterback, so he's going to outperform his ADP. I think that all of them are pretty fine picks. I'm not really mixing in much Levis, but I do think he's an okay late round quarterback swing or a good super flex pick as well if you're playing in super flex formats. Now let's get to the bad offenses in terms of overall ADP. And I hope you guys are following/enjoying so far. If you are, leave a like, all that good stuff. These are the projected bad offenses, in my opinion, and also in the opinions of Mike Clay and Vegas projections and things of that nature. We'll try and highlight where we want to be avoiding and where we want to be targeting here with these guys specifically, because it's easy to be optimistic on every NFL offense, but the reality is 15 offenses around the NFL are probably going to underperform, and 5 of them are going to be because of like injuries, which we can't predict, but there's going to be a solid 10 offenses that underperform expectations, even without major injuries being suffered to them. So the Steelers, the Patriots, the Commanders, the Saints, the Giants, the Broncos, the Panthers, and the Raiders project to be the worst offenses in the league, at least in my opinion. You could put any one of these teams dead last. You could put any one of these teams, what would that be, 25th in the NFL in terms of overall points per game and yards and DVOA, things of that nature. Let's go through them one by one. The Steelers' offense is very concentrated, so I don't actually think they're a bad fantasy offense because they have the two running backs who I actually like. given how much Arthur Smith is going to throw the ball. You have George Pickens, who projects to be the very clear alpha number one wide receiver. And then Pat Freiermuth, who's a decent late round tight end throw, who's actually the number two in his offense. So again, Steelers probably not a very good overall offense, but I actually really don't mind any of them because I think we all know what we're getting in Pittsburgh. The Patriots, however, are the total opposite because we don't know anything about what we're getting outside of the fact that Ramondre Stevenson is going to be their lead back. We don't know what we're getting at wide receiver. Is it going to be Jalen Polk, DeMario Douglas, Javon Baker, KJ Osborne? We have no idea. But to me, that is where the value is to be had. I love Jalen Polk. I love Javon Baker. And I like DeMario Douglas. So I'm taking calculated swings on all three guys because of all teams, I think this is the offense that has a chance to be the most surprising, the team that has a chance to be this year's Houston Texans, mainly because they have Drake May coming in at quarterback, a quarterback prospect who I thought was just a touch below Caleb Williams as a player, and also Jacoby Brissett being there. He's a good, stable veteran who can get them off to a decent start, maybe get the young weapons up to speed, and then when Drake May comes in, maybe he is, kind of carrying that momentum and helping the Patriots overperform. Because if they're not a bottom five offense, let's say they're a league average offense, as good as, say, you know, the Saints were last year, for example, then Drake May will have this team moving a lot better than they were moving last year with Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi. And one of, if not multiple, of these weapons will outperform where they're currently going. The Washington Commanders, they have some ambiguity that presents value as well because they have upside to be better just like the Patriots do because of their rookie quarterback. Daniels and the backfield is where I'm personally targeting. I'm not a huge Terry McLaurin fan. Jahan Dotson, Luke McCaffrey, I'll take swings in best ball, but probably not in managed leagues. Jaden Daniels, Brian Robinson, and Austin Eckler, to me, is where the value is to be had with the Washington Commanders. The Saints are just like the Steelers because they're very concentrated. We know exactly where the fantasy production is going. They're just not really as good of an offense as we'd like to be, right? I think they're kind of like the worst version of the Jets offense where it's Rodgers, it's Wilson, and it's Hall. Here, it's Derek Carr, Chris Olave, and Kamara. I think we know exactly where the fantasy production is going, and that makes Chris Olave a fine pick where he's going, Alvin Kamara a fine pick where he's going. Just the upside is what you worry about with this offense, because even though Clint Kubiak is coming in and there's been some optimism around the offensive line additions and things of that nature, there's still a lot of question marks with New Orleans to the point that I think that they're probably a bottom 10, bottom 5-ish type of offense. The Giants, a team that everybody has been talking about lately because of Malik Nabers and the training camp highlights that have come out about him. Malik Nabers and Devin Singletary are the only players being drafted, period, from the New York Giants. No wide receiver two, no tight end is being drafted in common fantasy drafts, not even Daniel Jones. We think that they'll suck because, you know, Daniel Jones isn't a very good quarterback and they don't really have a whole lot of weapons that we know of yet. But I think what made the Rams a huge value last year, if I had to pick a team to be this year's Rams and surprise a lot of people, it would be the Giants. And the reason for that is because, A, Daniel Jones is healthy. He's 100% performing in training camp. So if you're worried about health of Daniel Jones, I probably wouldn't be. But the reason I think they could be this year's Rams is because the reason the Rams were much better than we thought is because, A, they got a huge production from a rookie wide receiver, which is exactly what the Giants could get. And B, the coaching was a lot better than we gave it credit for. We all knew Sean McVay was a great coach, but we still wrote off the Rams anyway. And I think maybe not as good as Sean McVay, but I still think Brian Daboll is a good coach and can get the most of his talent around him. Like, we can't hold too much against the Giants last year for what happened. Daniel Jones was hurt. Brian Daboll was coaching Tommy DeVito with, you know, no good wide receivers and no good tight end production. Everybody was injured pretty much on the Giants roster, and they still were functional, at least as an offense to some degree. I think the Giants could definitely surprise us this year, but again, they're in the bad offenses range for a reason. I think that's the most likely outcome. I'm just painting the rosy picture if you're a Giants fan here. The Broncos, only team in the entire league without a player drafted inside the top 100 overall picks. Will they be bad? Probably. But again, similar to the Giants, I could see this team being better than we think because they're well coached. Sean Payton's a good coach. He got good production out of Russell Wilson, who looked like a shell of himself just a year previously. And they have a rookie quarterback too. And that presents upside because we don't know how good Bo Nix is. We all suck at evaluating quarterbacks. I really liked Bo Nix, and I think that he could come in and operate this Sean Payton offense very well. So if the Broncos are the 23rd best team in the NFL on an offensive point per game perspective, they're going to return a lot of value because nobody's going high. Not their backfield, not their tight ends, not their wide receivers. You can get Courtland Sutton outside the top 100 picks. You can get Javonte Williams, their starting running back, outside the top 100 picks. Or you can do what I've been doing and loading up on late round dart throws in this offense, like Troy Franklin, like Audric Estime, like Jaleel McLaughlin, like Marvin Mims, if you're interested in him. That's how I've been playing the Broncos because they're great dart throws who could potentially, like Troy Franklin, what if he becomes the number one receiver of this team? What if Audric Estime becomes the lead back for this team? That's going to be really, really cheap production that you're getting, especially if the offense overperforms expectations, like I said. Carolina Panthers, they have Brooks and Deontay Johnson going higher in drafts. I like attacking Carolina the same way I'm attacking the Broncos, which is I'm going to do it cheaply because I really don't believe that much that the offense will be exponentially better. Do I think it'll be as bad as last year? Probably not, but I do have a lot of reservations, a lot of concerns about Dave Canales and Bryce Young in this offense. So I will attack this offense via Xavier Leggett, who's the mystery box rookie who has all this upside, and Chuba Hubbard, who with Jonathan Brooks coming off an ACL tear, I'll take my shots on Jonathan Brooks, maybe starting the season on PUP or whatever happens there. And Chuba Hubbard can get me some early season production in my flex spot in a zero RB or something like that. So Bryce Young, Deontay Johnson, Jonathan Brooks, I really, really want to buy into this offense. And I think there's reason to. I'm just a little bit hesitant to do so in the range of the draft where you have to take those players. The Raiders, I expect to be the stone worst offense in the NFL. So I have them ranked dead last. If you're a Raiders fan, I'm apologizing to you in advance, but it's simply because you don't have a good quarterback and you probably don't have the greatest coaching staff in the world either to elevate said quarterback. Aiden O'Connell was fine last year in relief of Jimmy Garoppolo. Gardner Minshew was fine last year in relief of Anthony Richardson. But I think it's different when you go into the season with a quarterback like that as opposed to when they have to come in mid-season and kind of, steady the boat, so to speak. So for me, I look at the quarterback play in Las Vegas. I look at the fact that, yeah, Zamir White expects to get volume. Yeah, Devontae Adams is still a great wide receiver, but I'm worried about the offensive line. I'm worried about the quarterback. I'm worried about the coaching. The only guy I'm adamantly targeting in this offense is Brock Bowers at tight end. So for me, I think if I had to decide which offense is going to be the one that I don't want, one that I don't want pieces of, it will be the Las Vegas Raiders. And I it's really difficult this time of year when everybody's excited, everybody's got like optimism around their team to say your team's going to be bad or your offense is going to be bad. This isn't a I love to do this because I love hating on your team situation. I'm trying to figure out exactly which offenses are going to produce the best fantasy results and provide you guys with that answer. And I think these bad offense tier, this last tier that I'm talking about here, are offenses that are going to A, cause headaches for fantasy, like I kind of talked about with like the Commanders wide receiver core, for example, or they're just going to be outright bad offenses to the point that we don't really want a lot of pieces from them. But of course, there's going to be a lot of moving parts, a lot of things that change. If Dak Prescott gets hurt all season long and he doesn't play for the Cowboys, they're going to be one of the worst offenses in the league. That's just a stone cold fact. So injuries, I can't predict. I'm just assuming health across all 32 teams because that's what I'm trying to do. So hopefully you guys got some value from this. I'm not sure if you did or not. I think I was just kind of going off the cuff with a lot of this stuff, saying who's a good value, who's not a good value, which ADPs make sense, which ADPs don't make sense. And in the process, I was ranking all of the offenses in the NFL based on how I expect them to score, how fantasy friendly they would be, their overall point production, and that kind of thing. So if you enjoyed, leave a like down below, subscribe to the channel if you are new around here. If you want our draft guide, which has tons of bonus content, tons of rankings, tons of risk ratings, tons of the truth series. We have so much going on in our draft guide that it would take me forever to explain everything. The easiest way to get access to it is to sign up on Underdog Fantasy, take some of this advice that I've talked about in this video right into action, go up and stack some of these offenses that I talked about, like the Broncos, like the Patriots, like the Bears, for example, and go sign up over there using the promo code FSE. When you sign up on Underdog Fantasy, you'll get our draft guide for free with a $10 deposit or more, and you'll also get a deposit match back up to $250 from Underdog and a special pick'em in your pick'em lobby as well. Within 24 hours, they will email you access to our redraft guide, our Dynasty draft guide, and our Dynasty Rookie All 22 film breakdowns. That is our overall fantasy football package to get you ready for this season, and if you're interested in that, you can get it for free, basically with just a $10 deposit on Underdog Fantasy, which you can then win money with by hitting the link in the description. And if you already have an Underdog account, or if you can't play on Underdog where you live, you can also get everything I just mentioned on flockfantasy.com. Use the promo code FSE for 7 days for free, 30% off any of the packages, and 6 months for free when you sign up annually. And with that being said, peace out. We'll talk to you soon.